isn't exactly the way people want it to look. Right? People want it to look a certain way. They want it to act a certain way. Because he's always on camera. He's Marco Rubio, and he's a politician. You're not supposed to take a drink while you're speaking. Yeah? Carl Jung was a psychologist, also a little bit of a philosopher, one of the great minds of the last century. And Carl Jung said that the way that we want to be perceived and the way that we want people to see us is called a persona. A persona. You heard that word before? A certain persona. We all kind of express different personas. And we're constantly changing those personas. We're constantly adjusting and shifting through different personas. Sometimes we want to express ourselves. You go into an interview. Anybody applying for an internship this summer? In an office or somewhere in the city? Yeah? You going to make coffee for a rich guy this summer? How's that? Are you going to wear a basketball jersey? You're going to wear a suit. Right? You're going to wear some kind of a, maybe pants that don't have cleats in them. Right? You're going to try to look like a, you know, create a certain professional persona that you're a businessman. And if you're a federal judge, so you also have to have a certain persona. You put on a black robe and you sit a certain way. And in some countries, they put on a wig on them to present themselves, to create a perception, to express a certain attitude, to express a certain way that they want to be seen. How about when you go, if you're in the yeshiva, you go back to the old country, to the Golden Medina. Certain persona. Sits around the belt, over under, or the thick ones that go down to your ankle. So in the pockets, or is it going to be with a stripe, or a white shirt, is it going to be a blue shirt, is it going to be the same way you went in before? In other words, what we wear and how we conduct ourselves, so to speak, and when we carry ourselves, creates a certain persona, right? And that's okay, that's appropriate. We're in this world and we have to kind of pull across a certain way. Problem is, what happens when we get stuck in that? What happens when we get stuck in it? Jung said that the word persona comes from the Latin word prosopone, which was the same root of the Latin word mask. A persona is a mask. Something that we put on to create a certain perception. And that's okay. We're constantly wearing masks and constantly expressing ourselves in the world through this medium. And constantly changing. And it's not necessarily bad. For example, I'm known as lots of different things to lots of different people. And I express different personas and different aspects of persona in different environments, in different places. During the summer, at my office, at my desk, I'm supposed to be like discussing the budget. Is this okay? Is that okay? There's a certain like persona you have as being a professional, as a director, being an executive. When I'm at home, so I have my children, I have a certain way that I am with my children. I express a certain side of myself with my kids. With my wife, it's a different side. With my parents, it's something different. With my neighbor, it's something different. When I'm in the makolet, or in a shirut, there's a different aspect of self that's being expressed, right? When I'm here speaking to you, there's a different aspect. And when I'm with my friends from high school, also a little bit of a different aspect there. We're constantly changing the way that we interact with people. So it's appropriate, because if I spoke to you the way I'd speak to my children, be off. If I spoke to my wife the way I speak to my in-laws, would also be off. If I spoke to my colet guy the way I speak to my mom, would also be something off. I would never speak so disrespectfully to the colet guy. I'm a decent human being. I'll lose my temper with like the guy at my colet. I get so frustrated with the guy in my colet who asked me to, like, I don't know, do something simple. Says Jung, we're all going through this world in masks, and the truth is it's okay, because Zohar says that the whole world is a mask. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Ribono Shel Olam, who is Mesaved Kol Alamin, Ramali Kol Alamin, Hashem keeps the world going, from within and from without, and that there's no space in the world absent of the divine. Everywhere in the world and everything in the world pulses with the Ribbono Shel Olam, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world is hidden. Olam comes from the root of the word He'olem, to conceal. God in the world is concealed. Godliness is in every corner and in every aspect, but concealed in the world of nature, in historical trends, in progress, in technology, in kochi ve'etzem yadi, human input and accomplishment. God is clothed. That the Ribbono Shel Olam fear the belt, that God runs the world and makes it happen every single second, is concealed as a reality because Hateva, nature is begematria elokim. God is in the world, is clothes himself, and it's our job to search behind the mask to find the Ribbono Shel Olam. So the same way that God is hidden in the world, God is concealed, that God is behind the mask of what we call reality in this world, what we can sense, what we can touch, what we can feel, what we can explain. The same way, there are different. There are two aspects of self. This is what Maharal explains: is etzem, the essence, the essential self, the core of the person, who I am. And then there's how I express myself, my gilui, how I relate to others, how I present myself in the world, how I'm perceived in the world, the mask that I'm wearing in the world. So that it's okay that a person is changing those masks seamlessly, effortlessly sometimes, subconsciously sometimes, in a healthy way. In a healthy way. But the way that we maintain our sense of self and our core, and not just live a life of being a total fake and a total flake, who's constantly dancing between the raindrops, trying to be something to everyone, but nothing to anyone, and constantly just changing ourselves and being one of these people that are a chameleon, who's just a big chunk of falsehood and fakery and being a poser, is by recognizing that there's my etzem, there's who I am, and then there's what I do. This is who I am as an essential self, the etzem, and this is how I reveal myself and express myself in the world. And how I express myself is different in different times. We spoke about this about Avraham Avinu earlier in the year here. I'm sure everybody remembers. I'm sure it's something you've thought about and talked about. I'm sure you reviewed your notes. Avraham Avinu was lots of different things. Avraham was a politician. He met with world leaders. Avraham Avinu was a warrior. He was somebody who fought wars, 5 kings, 4 kings. He went and redeemed captives. He was involved. And he was also someone who was a real estate magnate. With Lot, he was someone who was involved in business. Miknerav, he had gold and zav. He was also a husband. He was also an uncle. He was also a father. He was also a theologian and a philosopher and a teacher. Someone who represented God in the world. Avraham Avinu was lots of things. He also had a bustling kretschmer business. He had an open tent. He was busy running around serving people. Running to and her, getting things together as a host. Avraham Avinu was lots of things. Lots of things. But Yechezkel says the greatest praise of Avraham Avinu, and this is the way Rav Nachman expresses the greatness of Avraham, is by saying Echad Haya Avraham. In between the first half of Likutei Maran and the second part of the Sefer of Rav Nachman's work, there's a little paragraph there. Echad Haya Avraham. Avraham was one. He was one. There was an aspect of Avraham, a persona of Avraham, who was engaged in the world of military involvement, strategy, and business, and politics, and philosophy, and theology, and teaching, and hosting, and fathering, and husbanding. And he also had this whole thing of breaking idols. I mean, Avraham was, but it all stemmed from the fact that Avraham was through and through Avraham. Echad Haya Avraham. He wasn't living a schizophrenic double life of duplicitous identity. He was who he was. Through and through, he was Avraham. He put on lots of masks and lots of expressions. And sometimes he dressed up this way, and sometimes when he went out to war, he was wearing, I'm sure he was wearing a different jacket than when he was working in the kitchen. And when he went to meet Mamre or Malki Tzedek, it was a different persona than when he was talking to Sarai and says, Hinena Yadati, Kisha Yifat Mariat. The different aspect of self that he was revealing. And when he was bargaining with Avimelech, handling with him, it's probably very different than when he turned to Yitzchak Avinu and said, you know, are you ready to do this? Meaning there's different aspects of self. But Echad Aya Avram, that Avram was one, he was authentic, he was thorough, he was through and through a man, a person, who expressed different aspects of his self. We have a similar notion by the Torah. Dark Side of the Moon, anyone? You know what it looks like, the cover of the album? Or you download it on iTunes, you know? No, but even there, you can have like that. It's a prism. There's one single beam of light which represents the infinite truth of the world. I don't know if it does, but it does, right? And when it hits that prism, that individual, you know what I'm talking about?
Mumford.
No? When an individual beam, that infinite beam hits the... Sorry. That individual beam hits the prism, it refracts and reflects into infinite colors. And the rainbow is coming out the other side. There's one reality of God in the world. Haya, Hove, V'yia. Havaya, Yud, He, and Vav. God is one. Shema Yisrael, Havaya, Lokeinu, Havaya, Echad. God is one. But there's Shivim Panim LaTorah. There's 70 faces and facets of the Torah. And God is refracted and reflected in this world in an infinite number of ways. And everything and in every one. But it's all one. It's all the same oneness. Each aspect is a different mask, a different persona, so to speak, of the Ribbono Shel Olam, of God in the world. The same way we express ourselves personally, professionally, religiously, in different social groups and in different family settings, but it's all coming from the same oneness, hopefully. Which is what brings us to where we're holding now in the world. Mishnechlas Adar Marvin B'Simcha. We come into Adar. It's a marvim b'simcha. L'chaim. It's so awkward. Mishnichlas Adar marvim. What is this Adar that we're in? So we know anything that exists in the world exists in a number of dimensions. Anything that exists in time, also exists in space, also exists and manifests itself in the soul of the individual. So that if there is a place called Yerushalayim, which there is, that place called Yerushalayim, which is the holiest, the most sanctified of grounds, is also expressed as a reality in time. That's called Shabbos, the most sanctified of days. There's also that expression somehow unfolds inside the soul of a person. Rishon Bar Yochai is referred to as Shabbos. Rashbi, Moshe Rabbeinu, the Tzaddik, is the notion of Shabbos, the Kedusha of Shabbos manifest in a person. Shabbos is manifest, the holiness of Shabbos is manifest in place as Yerushalayim. The same Kedusha, but there's different aspects of it. Different personas, there's different expressions of that holiness. Anything that exists in time also exists in space. It also exists in the soul of the individual. So, Mishnichnas Adar, it's true there's a 30-day period called Adar, which is what we're in. But Mishnichnas Adar, going into that time of the month, that time of the year, it's not just that we're logistically on some coordinate on a day of the calendar. But there's a supernal reality that's unfolding on an inner way. Y'all with me? There's something unfolding. There's something that's taking place. Mishanecha. What is that? So the Gemara says, Gemara says, Harutza Shiskaim Unachasav Yitna Bahamadar. The person wants their nechasim, their assets, to have lasting quality. Do you have assets? Do you have a portfolio? Do you have any money? Come on. Assets? You know what assets are? Stocks, property. You have something, a bond for the bar mitzvah. After somebody got a $50 bond for their bar mitzvah here? Somebody? Okay? Good. Okay? You have some investments maybe? A little something? In a market ever? You had anybody go to KBC? I thought the capital is a class A, play the market a little bit. Okay, whatever. You know. We're a bunch of Jews sitting over here trying to figure it out. You're allowed, the Jews get together and talk about money. It's okay. It's fine. It's also still, everything Shkolim and Zachar. It's okay. It's fine. Like, that's how we got out of Purim. Hiktim Shkolenu L'Shkolav. Like, it's okay. There's a society of Jews who get together. When you get a little older, we'll let you in, maybe. We sit around and talk about how we're going to control the money in the world. It's okay. Don't feel uncomfortable about it. It's fine. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan says, in the name of Rabbi Elazar, in the name of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, Harotzeh Shiyiskayim Unachasav. Do you want your assets to have lasting value? Which we want investment. We want investment advice. The Gemara says, Yita Bohem Adar. Plant an Adar. Plant an Adar tree. What's an Adar tree? Says the Gemara. Rashi explains. An Adar tree is one that it lasts a long time. Its roots go deep. The Rishonim explain. It's able to survive lots of different environments, lots of different seasons. It gives good leaves, good fruits. If you want to have a good investment, so think long-term strategy. Go long. Plant a tree. You plant a tree now at this age, by the time you're able to use some of the branches to build a boat to do business with, or use its fruits to eat or to sell, it's going to be a long time down the road. We have a tree in our backyard we planted when we first bought our house, 8.5 years ago, and only now are really starting to get fruits from it. You want to make a good investment, you plant a tree, an other tree, long term you'll have a good return on it. Says the Chernobyl Magid, Rotzah Shiyiskayim Unachasav. If you want your assets to have lasting quality, if you want it to be valuable down the road, it's not just talking about our portfolio, our stocks, and our financial assets, but that which is most important to us, our eternity, our intellectual abilities, our kochos ha-nefesh, our inner world. If we want our assets, our kochot, to have real lasting quality, then we have to yita b'hem in ourselves, we have to plant Adar. It says the Magid in the name of the Baal Shem Tov, Adar is Aleph Dar. The reality, the recognition, the awareness that Aleph Echad, Alufo Shel Olam, God, the one God, Aleph Dar. God dwells in this world. God dwells in this world. There is a God and He dwells in this world. If you want to have lasting quality, if you want our learning, we're busy learning. If you're learning to have lasting quality, the davening, the accomplishments in Shmirat HaMitzvot, in maturity, in Midot development. We want that to have lasting quality. So you have to know Aleph Dar, Adar, Alufa Shalolam, Dar, God dwells in the world. So the Kotzker asked his Talmidim, where does God dwell? Yes, and he said, God dwells in Beit Medrash, God dwells in Yishalah. You know this? You heard this teaching before? Okay, so I'll share this. I just shared this, getting more comfortable. All right, we have a custom. You go to your Rebbe's house for Shabbos, you have to say Dvar Torah, right? Mm-hmm. So I asked the ruler to say a joke. We have jokes at our table. You saw this, witnessed this. This is what happens at our table. We share jokes. If I don't show up on Friday night at my house with a good joke, forget it. Children, like, they're not, like, it's over for me. It's over for me. I have to have a good joke. I have to have something to say. Shlomo Zalman Orbach said, to say a vart, anybody can. To say a good joke, it takes a real pekeach. So I was saying it is Shlomo Zalman's granddaughter was getting engaged, so they're telling him, Shlomo Zalman, all this great gluing of the person is smart, he's gevaldik, he learns, he's shtarka. Shlomo Zalman says, they have a sense of humor, can tell a joke. Anyways, my daughter said the following joke. She said, there's a kid in school, and the motor asked the class, the motor asked the shiur, where is the Ribono Shalom? Where is the Kaddish Baruch Hu? So one kid, Dezan, said, a Kaddish Baruch Hu is in the Beit Medrash. Tema'od. Salash. The next kid says, a Kaddish Baruch Hu, Hashem is in the Torah. Also very nice, right? The next kid, where is Hashem? Hashem is in Yerushalayim. That's beautiful. And so on and so forth. Hashem is in the Aron Kodesh, Yifei Me'od. And they got to this other kid and said, where's Hashem? And the kid says, Hashem is in the bathroom. The mother says, what? How could you say that? Go to the Menahelet. Go to the principal. The chutzpah to say such things. Go to the Menahelet, the principal. The principal says, you know, I heard you said something very not very inappropriate, very chutzpah day. You know that Hashem is in Yerushalayim, that Hashem is in the Torah, that Hashem is in the Aron Kodesh, Yifei Me'od. How could you say that? That the Ribono Shel Olam, that Hashem is in the bathroom. The kid says, well, every Friday night at my house, after the meal, my mother's looking for my father. She goes upstairs and she's banging on the bathroom door and she says, Ribono Shel Olam, what are you doing in there for so long? So Ribono Shel Olam's in the bathroom. The person wants to make a good investment. The person wants to make a good investment. Is that a career actor? If a person wants to make a good investment, the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan tells us, Yita Bahem Adar. Be aware of the fact that God dwells in the world. Aleph Dar. Alufo Shel Olam, that single beam, is coming into the world, and that God dwells in this world in the multiplicity of colors. The multiplicity of colors and places and people and things, the Ribono Shel Olam is there. As a child, the Rapshitz's father said to him, Rabbi Naftali from Rapshitz's father said to him, I'll give you a kopek if you can tell me where God is. And then the Rapshitz said, I'll give you two if you can tell me where he's not. And I read that in Elie Wiesel book, it's very strong. Aleph Dar, Alufa Shel Olam Dar, God is in the world. But the Vard is, the key to understanding is that God is concealed in the world. That the world is a mask. The Ribono Shel Olam is behind that mask. We have to know that that expresses itself in our lives as follows, very simply. A Jew is a chelek elokam imal. We are an expression of godliness. This week, Vasuli Mikdash, Vishachanti Besochem is talking about me, it's talking about this. There's a building called the Mishkan, that's true. It's in a place called, the Beis Hamikdash ultimately is a place called Yerushalayim. But that's expressed in Nefesh inside of all of us. The Shachanti Besocham Daika, not Besocha. Besocham, in you, in all of us. That means that Alufo Shel Olam, Aleph Dar, God dwells within all of us. So that as much as we're going through the world with different masks and personas and different costumes and different expressions of self, we have to remember that behind that, there's an etzem, there's an essential self that's all light, that's all godly. And maybe I get myself involved in things which are a little bit not so godlike on the outside, and maybe sometimes my choices are poor, and I end up doing things that I regret or I shouldn't do or that are megusham, but I have to know that that's just a mask, but behind that mask it's all light. It's all godliness. Aleph Dar. And Mishanichnas Adar, you get into that mentality, Marvin Besimcha. Because Simcha doesn't mean that there's anything that's causing me to feel that way. If I win the lottery and I feel good, that's not called Simcha. That's maybe Gila, that's maybe Sasan. You get engaged, there's different, with a woman, there's different terms, there's different adjectives to describe the feeling. It's a sense that we have of being uplifted when we accomplish, and a sense we have when we're surprised, and there's a very simply, simcha is the natural state where a Jew finds themselves. The natural default setting of a yid is to be besimcha. So much so that Yirmiyahu HaNavi, who had a very tragic life, he was the prophet of doom. Yirmiyahu HaNavi was the one running around saying, the sky is falling, the temple is going to be destroyed. All those kinots on Tisha B'Av are what Yirmiyahu HaNavi said is going to happen. And Yirmiyahu HaNavi, when he's saying, listen, they're spitting at me, they're throwing rocks at me. Ultimately, Yirmiyahu was taken by his own people and thrown into a pit under the ground, and he heard the horsemen coming into Yerushalayim to sack the city. Prophet of Doom, literally. He never married. A very painful, lonely life. And yet, Yirmiyahu HaNavi says, V'haya, Imracha, your words, Dvarecha, your words, Hashem, were for me, Sason v'simcha levavi. They were a source of simcha in my heart, Ki nikra alai shimcha Hashem. Because you, God, are called through me, my life was filled with simcha. Doesn't mean he was walking around like everything's grand all the time. Doesn't mean he was walking around like, Frelechzayim. Simcha means that he understood that Ribbono Shel Olam is with him. That as long as I'm in the world, that means that God is with me. And that awareness, that recognition, is called simcha. Yirmiyahu HaNavi said, it was b'simcha. We know that Ruach HaKodesh can't rest on a person if they're not the simcha. And Eicha was written completely from Ruach HaKodesh. Yirmiyahu HaNavi wrote that tragic story, that tragic prophecy with simcha. In other words, a person can be in pain. A person's heart can be broken. A person can feel like they're struggling. But still know at their core that Aluf Dar, that Alufa Shel Olam, that God is with me. Mishnichnas Adar, Marbin B'Simcha. Alufo Shel Olam Dar. We just read a couple weeks ago in the Parsha, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, don't forget that there's one, it's just me. Echad Yachid Amichad. Ha Yehovah V'yeh. Don't have a multiplicity of gods, don't make gods, don't shape and form idols. Pasuk says, Elohei Masecha Losase. Don't make a molten god, don't shape a god. The word Masecha, Simcha Bonim points out, don't make a mask into your god. Don't make a mask out of God. Don't make religion into something which is external. Don't get caught up in the structure and the form and miss out on what's really behind the mask. It's important to have Shabbat. It's very important to have nice clothing for Shabbos. It's a big thing. Big day Shabbat. It's a big thing. A beautiful piece in the Siva Shalom. In a few weeks, it's going to come and say Vayikra about it's the clothing of the big of Shabbos clothing or Kenega, the clothing of the Kohen Gadol. It's very beautiful. Shoes we wear at Shabbos, a different yarmulke, different everything. Ad kidei kach, different tachtonim, different big day elyon. Don't forget Shabbos. You have to have nice foods also, good fish, good mashke, good bottle of wine, good b'chaim. You know, best piece of meat, save it for Shabbos. To do everything special, all the trappings for Shabbos. Nice tablecloth. Do it right. But not to make that expression of Shabbos, that mask, the end-all be-all. As Yira Kadosh once said, I have a little fish for Shabbos, now I have a nice jacket for Shabbos, I have challah for Shabbos, but all I need left to do is to have a little Shabbos for Shabbos also. As we get caught up sometimes in the exterior so much, in the mask, and the persona, and the expression of what's taking place, we forget about what's really behind the mask. I get so caught up in myself being a certain way, and expressing a certain way, and I want to be perceived in that way, personally, professionally. It's worse at home, but anywhere, it's fine. Avram was lots of things. You have to be lots of different things for lots of different people. As long as we are ourselves to ourselves. And this is to the... And above all else, Shakespeare said, to thine own self be true. And Fry followed it off and quote, to thine own self be true. Know that there's something behind the mask. The mask is fine, just know that there's something there behind the mask, and that's really who I am. There's this whole business with this guy taking a drink of water. It didn't look like the way that we want this politician to look, because Rachmon Tzlan, he should have to take a drink of water, and that he should know that the water had to be here and not there. Olam HaSheker, Olam HaDimyon. This is what the front page is, the main story on Huffington Post, CNN, Wall Street Journal. I could care less about this one or the other one. I just said to myself, but how often do I get caught up in the shtick? How often do I get caught up in the way it's supposed to look? A rav is supposed to look like this. He's a holy person because he's a long beard. He's stark because he's wearing a jacket. Or if I want to be close to God, I have to do this XYZ external thing. And masks are okay. It's fine to express that persona. And maybe that is true, and maybe that's helpful for him or for you or for me or whatever. But you have to work from the inside out. Lesson. Purim is like the capital of working from the inside out. Megillas Esther, no mention of God openly. It's one just big mess. Not shame Havaya, not shame Elohim, not Kel, not Shekhan, none of it. And yet, from beginning to end, every twist and every turn that's clothed in nature and political drama and chance, it's all the Ribono Shel Olam, and it's so obvious. It's so clear, if you mention that it's Hashem, it would be like even like a little bit of an external thing. It would be like a little bit like cheapening it. Megillas Esther literally means the scroll of Esther, but it literally means Megillah from the word legalot, to reveal. Hester, Esther, that which is hidden. To reveal that which is concealed. To bring out that which is inside. So Purim is a lot of fun. Purim is the highest. Purim is the greatest. It's really the greatest. Kip Purim, blah, blah, blah. And everybody will be able to say beautiful teaching and avart about why it's so great. And the Mishloach Manos expresses that. And the Megillah expresses that. And the Matanos of Yonim expresses that. And the Suda expresses that. And the drinking is an expression of that. But what's that? What's the that? Mishnechnas Adar, Marvin B'Simcha, if we want really to connect to the Simcha that's it's here, it's there, it's in, it's with us. We want to be able to tap into that natural state. What's behind the mask? First things first, we have to know that there's a mask and that there's an etzem and there's a gilui. It's the first thing. We have to know the first things first. There's an etzem, there's essential self, and there's how that self is revealed. Now we can start to like notice when I'm with these guys, I act a certain way. When I'm with these guys, I act a certain way. When there's girls around, I act a different way. That's also okay. That's also appropriate. It's also appropriate. It's fine. It's good. And when there's these types of people around, I act a different way. And it's okay, but let's start to notice it a little bit. Let's start to notice the different personas and the different expressions of self and the different masks that we kind of put on for the outside world and even for those who are closest to us. If that's something that you're walking away with now, from now till Purim, to start thinking a little bit in those terms, so then when we get dressed up with a costume on Purim, we put on a mask, the irony and the point of that all will be to awaken the reality and the recognition and the awareness of the fact that we're wearing masks all the time. And then Hashem is wearing a mask and Hashem is dressed up as the world. It's a ridiculous costume. Ribono Shel Olam is dressed up as the world, as history, as past, present, and future. So it's okay to be dressed up. And in Purim we dress up to remind ourselves that really we're dressed up all the time. But Elohim HaSechel Osasa, don't make God out of our masks. Don't let our masks be an end unto themselves. Let them be something which is just an expression of self. Something which is coming from a place of pnimius, a place of something real. And that way we'll come into this entire month with this tremendous month with infinite potential for growth and connectivity to each other, to our friends, to all of Knesset Yisrael. We'll do it in a way where we'll be able to be sense that guarantee of marbin, of ribui simcha, of just expansiveness and openness. But it starts within. It starts inside. Hashem should help us that we should be zocha to be confident and comfortable enough to take a drink whenever we're thirsty, even if there's a camera rolling. And Hashem should help us that we be zocha to say l'chaim together this year on the Purim with one another. And we be zocha to see behind our own masks and behind the masks of our friends and loved ones, should know that the Ribono Shel Olam is with us in every way. Shabbos L'chaim.